Welcome to Lightning Bug, a celebration of grassroots progressive politics in rural Pennsylvania. We stand for the protection of all people, the environment, and the rights enshrined in our Constitution. We support an informed citizenry and equal opportunity for all to achieve the American dream. We as constituents will hold our elected officials accountable. We are committed to equality, inclusion, acceptance, and fairness. We are lights in the night. We are hope for our future. We are not alone. We are Lightning Bug. So welcome everyone to Lightning Bug. It's the day after the election, and I'm Dwayne Heisler.
I'm Jessica Britton. It's a big day here in Pennsylvania.
It's a big day. It's, you know, this. I almost think of elections as almost being holidays.
Yeah.
For us, like, we celebrate that. We're political junkies,
we
right?
We are. Elections, by the way, not to go off onto too much of a tangent, should be holidays, and people should get off work so that it's easier to vote, but that's a whole other thing that we could do a whole podcast
on.
Oh,
we could, and we could, and that is so important to say. I think that that's really cool.
Yeah.
I know when I was running my own business, we would give our employees a half day off if they went out and voted, like, the
See,
idea of
just
go vote.
See, that's amazing.
Yeah, that
more businesses should do that.
They could take it later on in the week,
yeah,
or something like that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Half day. So today is May 16th. It's the day after Pennsylvania's primary. And you know how we always start with some local news. And we had a lot of candidates that we know run for the local Democratic county committees.
We did.
And for state committee as well.
We did.
And most of these were either members of Columbia County Indivisible, because we're broadcasting, as you know, from rural Pennsylvania, Columbia County. And but we also had several other counties, because we're in with Action Together, a larger group, and we are the Columbia County chapter of Action
we
Together.
We are, and yeah, very exciting. We had multiple county committee members getting elected yesterday from Columbia County, from Lackawanna County, a whole bunch from Luzerne County, and also from Susquehanna and Wayne counties. So that's very exciting to see so many people. And a lot of these people have not been on the county committee before. So I know that's exciting. Myself included. Little
Yay!
Shout out.
How many votes
did
you get?
I got 63 votes.
Woohoo! You go getter,
in the
you.
Booming metropolis of South Center Township in Columbia County, where I think there are like 64 Democrats. So it's not too bad now.
Wow, you got the ball.
No, I didn't. One person did not vote for me.
One
person on there. And I'm going to hunt them down. I'm going to find them.
So this is what's important, because a lot of people don't realize this. As you go further down the ballot, you know, you have the top of the ballot, the candidates at the top. As you go further down, people, you get less and less people who vote.
Yeah.
And there's a few reasons for that. One is that maybe they don't know who those local candidates are.
Less name recognition,
exactly.
Sure.
And another one is they're just too much in a rush. I mean, seriously, I was at the polls all day yesterday.
Yeah.
And people just like run in and run out. They don't have time to talk to, because yeah, they're working. Their lives are,
right,
you know, they have things going,
yeah,
on.
Yeah, because Election Day is not a holiday and people don't have the day off work. But there we go again. But yeah, like, why is it so difficult? I almost wish that they would do it in reverse and put, how often do we have the conversation that local,
cool,
right, local politics affects you on a daily basis, where, you know, you're not going to interact with your U.S. senator. Not that it's not extremely important to vote for your senator, but those local elections get missed a lot because of exactly that issue, that it's down at the bottom and people don't even realize that, and they don't pay attention.
Could you imagine the chaos that would ensue if we turned,
flipped it
upside down?
Yeah.
I think it'd be so cool.
Think
so
it
there's
would be
a person
great
who was writing in for, I was up in Luzerne County yesterday,
right,
up in Exeter, and there was a person who was writing in for the county committee there. So the Democratic County Committee.
Gotcha.
And so people were writing his name in. It was a pretty long name. But
yeah,
what he found was, today he posted on his Facebook page, is that several people listed him for, like, governor, for like, to click on write in, and then the keyboard comes up and they type the name.
Right.
People were very confused. And he kept on saying, I heard him on every single, when he was handing out his information and greeting people at the poll, saying, I'm the very last choice on the ballot.
Yeah.
You know, I'm after the governor and after that. I'm very last thing.
Not people, the first one. Yeah.
People get very confused very easily. It's not something you do every day.
And it's not something you do every day. And it's a shame that there isn't more, I don't know, more outreach or something. And maybe this is something that we should, you know, have conversations about, you know, just about knowledge of the ballot itself and that sort of thing.
And the machines.
Yeah, exactly.
So I did some of that training with the, excuse me, with the Latino community.
Right, yes.
Yeah, you were there for that.
I was.
That's right, you helped me with that. That was great. And we had an interpreter that was there as well to help. And I actually played a video that was produced by the Department of State of how the machine, how their machine actually works.
Yeah.
They didn't have it in Spanish, though.
Yeah.
It was in English, and we were translating and pausing and doing that. But I mean, people don't, you're not born knowing how to vote.
No.
Yeah,
I kind of explained it to my stepdaughter, who it's the first election that she's been old enough to vote in. So I kind of walked her through how it works and explained to her, you know, okay, you're going to see the choices for federal office first, and you can, you know, go through kind of those. Talked her through who some of the candidates were. But yeah, she had never done it before. So it would be nice if, when you register to vote or anything like that, if that training was like instantly available or something.
In school
would be perfect, which It baffles me that civics classes barely exist anymore, which is another part of the issue.
Okay,
but
so
anyway,
we're solving all the world's political...
Yeah, we got them pretty well taken care of.
So we had people who were running for the Columbia County Democratic Committee, like Combing County, the Luzerne County, the Susquehanna Wayne, as you said, that we know of personally that are involved with Action Together.
Right.
But then we also had our congressional race. So
we did.
With the redistricting and all of that, and there were some surprises that happened there. We're in the 9th Congressional District.
Yes, the brand new 9th Congressional District.
Which is much more compact than it was before. It was all spread out going
stretched
up to
out.
Wyoming County all the way down to Carlisle and beyond.
Yes.
And now it's a little bit more centrally located. And one of our candidates, you know, Columbia County's kind of in the middle of that.
Yep.
And we kind of remain pretty close to the middle of the district too.
Yeah, we
maybe,
did.
Yeah.
And more...
Maybe a little bit more north,
because
it goes down in the Berks now.
Yeah, it heads a different direction now than it did before.
But not all of Berks County is in. Some of it's cut out. So,
yes.
But our whole county is in. One of those candidates, Denny Wolf, was our winner.
Yes.
And so, do you have the results there?
I do, yes. Denny won with 40% of the vote, and then coming in second was Gary Wegman. Now, he is from Berks County, with 31%, and then Laura Quick with 28%. So, you know, not too huge of a victory. I was impressed to see all of the candidates do pretty well.
One of the takeaways I had, Jessica, was that they all did better in their own areas.
They did.
On their own geographies, and that's, once again, name recognition, where they're from. People
right.
are more likely to vote for someone if they're their neighbor.
Absolutely,
you know? And
yeah.
And that makes sense to me.
Yeah, and I think that, and Denny, you know, did have the advantage, and, I mean, to his credit, had the advantage of some more name recognition, because he was the state
Secretary
of Agriculture under Governor Rendell, and does have a very impressive, you know, resume on that perspective too. But he so he performed well, so he's our candidate now moving forward to the November general election. So
well, he also was able to raise some money. He had
he
the
was.
Support of the state party.
He did.
We got 3 or 4 mailings at our house.
Same. Same here.
The last week. And,
yep.
And but we had other ones before. And I'm when I say mailings, these were full gloss.
Yeah.
You know,
very,
size,
very
you know,
professional. Very well done. Yeah. I thought the same thing when I got those as well.
Other
so
candidates just couldn't afford that. I know that. Well, here's the other thing.
And they he has a staff as well, and the other candidates couldn't really afford to put together a real field team. So
the other thing was that their position within the 9th Congressional District were on their borders. Like, you know, so Redding wasn't included in the 9th Congressional District, and Gary Wegman lives right close to that border.
Yes.
So, you know, and same with Laura. She was in, like, Lebanon County, right?
Yes, she
and
was.
So she was kind of at the edge of the 9th, closer to Harrisburg, right?
Yeah.
So she was at the edge of the Congressional District, too. So there were some geographies I think, that were playing out there.
Oh, definitely. Well, and again, you know, the redistricting threw everyone for a loop there. Not that it isn't a great thing, and I'm glad that our districts are looking a little bit better, but when it happened in January and then the districts weren't determined until February, everybody had to scramble. So I think Denny's, in that way, like, Denny's geographical location stayed more the same than theirs, than either of theirs did. So,
you know, the other thing is that I think that they were very close in their messaging to all of them.
They were.
They were very respectful of each other. A lot of, there were some differences, obviously, and we talked about them here on Lightning Bug.
Indeed.
But I think that, you know, for the most part, there's no question that they are Democrats running in a Democratic primary.
Yes.
And that, certainly a big contrast to the other side.
The other side is not done that at all. The other side has been very messy and nasty up in this primary fight. So we'll see how that affects what happens moving forward. But our candidates were all very supportive of one another, which I think, you know, I know we both personally talked about how that was one of the good takeaways from any time we saw them interact. So I hope that they can support, that Laura and Gary can both help Denny out in any possible way to get him.
Did you see Gary's post on social media today about...
I did not.
We got to get out and support.
Oh, I did not. Oh, okay,
yeah, so
that's great.
Really nice.
Good.
He's kind of peeking through like a barn door. You know, because he's a
farmer.
Oh,
okay.
As well.
Gotcha. No, I didn't
picture.
See that.
You'll have to look
that's
it up.
Cool.
It's kind of cool. So.
That's good. That's encouraging.
Good.
And I really
encouraging.
Like... I mean, I think we both like Gary. We both like Laura. You know, I would like to work with them in the future in any way possible.
Help us build this infrastructure.
Exactly. Build that progressive network moving forward so we can get more Democrats elected.
So I was at the polls all day.
Yes.
I was on the ballot here in Columbia County, but I was running unopposed.
Did you win?
I won.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
It helps when you're running unopposed.
Yeah, I got.
But good job.
Yeah. No, thank you. I got over 2,000 votes, which
Yay.
Is nice. So, but anyway, so I decided to help some other people in action together in Luzerne County to run for the state Democratic Committee.
Yes.
Because we need that progressive voice within the state party.
Definitely.
And so I was up in Exeter, which is a busier poll. It's three polling locations at this one church.
Oh, okay.
But there was construction all around this church. At one point, the constable went out. They threatened to shut the work site down because they were kind of blocking how people get in.
Oh, really?
And then that storm came through.
Yeah, that was nasty.
There were several places that lost power, like over with, well, the one precinct just reported 2 hours ago in Judy's district,
in the 12th
congressional district,
yeah.
where she lost by how many votes?
Oh, was only like 200,
like,
I think.
200 votes,
yeah, it was very close.
Very close.
Oh, so interesting.
So there was one poll that was outstanding in Center County, which is, of course, where her competitor was.
Right.
And so it pumped.
Yeah, sure, you know, that's going to help
she
him.
She didn't make up anything
up
there.
Yeah, right, right.
Which is such a shame she worked so hard on that.
She did.
Well, both candidates did. But
yeah,
I mean, she was out running early. You know, she announced
on the
4th of July
that
she was going to run.
I'd like to watch her, too, and see what she does moving forward, because I think, you know, we're both fans of hers.
She
and
needs
I would
to
like,
be a voice.
I would like to see her, you know, see her stay involved. So I hope that that happens.
So I was up at the polls, and of course I had my phone with me and my iPad, and I was checking on different polls throughout the state,
mm-hmm.
and the number one thing that I take away that I have is low voter turnout.
Ugh.
Low voter. So this is the segment we called What Can Go Wrong. So we have a blue wave, right? And we have low voter turnout. That doesn't quite... And
those
here in
two things
County,
don't
we had about
seem to go together.
20% Democratic vote and about 24...
A little higher
26?
Republican, yeah.
Yeah, 24, 26%.
Yeah.
I think it was 24. So it was pretty close, but overall it was low. There's no one walked away from the primary saying, oh my gosh, did you see all those voters come out?
Yeah, and you didn't see anyone waiting in long lines or anything like that, which you would normally see
out.
If it, yeah.
5 minutes
so,
to vote.
Yeah.
So the other thing I noticed was, oh my gosh, car after car, there were people who were showing up with walkers and wheelchairs and canes and people who needed help getting in. I held open the door. I helped people, you know, getting in and out of their cars. Young people.
Not so much.
There were a few, but when they did show up, it was remarkable because there was someone there all of a sudden who was younger.
Well, I know, I mean, my husband and I, and we're not like the younger end of millennial by any stretch of the imagination, but there weren't a whole lot of people there when we went to vote, but, you know, we're both in our 30s and we were by far the youngest people at our poll, you know, that we saw while we were there for a little while in the morning. So it's, you know, it's a shame because these elections, you know, young people so often say that they don't feel connected to the party or to, you know, electoral politics. But it's like, well, if you're skipping the primary when you have a chance to have more of a voice in the party,
you get to decide who gets on
the
ballot.
Exactly.
Right?
Then like, you, then of course you don't feel
connected.
And then
connected. You complain in the fall, I'm not going to come on
vote like
because
candidates.
I don't like these candidates,
yeah,
right?
It's like, I still, my favorite, I say favorite with air quotes, but favorite thing that somebody said to me once doing a voter registration drive is, I don't want to register to vote. I don't like the government. And I was just baffled by that. So, well, you can't fix it if you don't vote. But hey, whatever. So yeah, so low turnout is a problem, especially with all the hype, right? We're talking about this all the time, and it's a blue wave in Pennsylvania. Spotlight on Pennsylvania.
That's
focus,
right.
focus on Pennsylvania.
National news.
We
you
need
know,
to
it's like Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
we're
we need to
be kicking
move,
off this blue wave.
Yeah, we
how
need
can
to
we
move
kick off a blue
polls?
Wave with 20% turnout of registered voters?
Yeah, which
right?
is a whole other conversation.
Right?
Yep.
We don't have same day registration, which would be really cool,
we
right?
Don't.
We should always make it easier for people to vote. But then you also have the fact that you, and I'm skipping a little bit to national, this is all I'm going to say, is that,
okay.
you know, the commander-in-chief's poll numbers are still in the 40s, the low 40s.
Yeah.
How does that help? So 40%.
How does that,
with
how
all
does
the
that
corruption,
math work out? Right.
And I mean, corruption on top of corruption
oh my
that
goodness.
Is happening on that level
yeah.
and still has that support. Well, he called it. He said, I could go out and, you know, in Manhattan and shoot someone and I'd still do it. And I think that's true.
Yeah.
So what's, I mean, is there a blue wave when there's a giant rock in the center of it?
Yeah. I mean, that's a good question. And I do think your point about, yeah, let's find ways to make it easier for people to vote
yeah.
would have a big impact. Exactly.
If they don't show up, I mean, there's not, yeah. I don't want to be a downer about this. There were a lot of bright things like new people coming into the party.
Sure.
You know, here's the thing. Most of those people on the list from Action Together are young people.
Yeah. And that is true. Yeah. And that's.
So people were running that were young, but people weren't coming to vote that were.
Right. Well, and I know, I mean, in my, now granted, I live in an area like there aren't that many young voters on in my like township area
right.
just because of where I live. So it's tough. I think there were probably only even just when I was going door to door and stuff like that, there were just a handful of people who were under the age of, I would say, 45. You know, so that's part of the problem in this area is that a lot of the population is older.
Okay, so in fairness, also the university is on break.
The university is gone. So, yeah, exactly. The students are gone. They graduation was last week.
But that means they went to their
own
communities, you know, and I wasn't here. I was in a community,
right.
you know, so I mean.
Yeah, it's hard to, yeah, and it's hard to gauge how that works too, and absentee ballots are always an issue, and that's something
right,
else that's way
that.
More complicated than it needs to be, which is a, you know, and I think, again, I think we need to maybe look at Governor Wolf's, you know, election reform plan, because a lot of,
right.
a lot of these issues that we're talking about would be resolved with those plans that he's putting forward. So I think that's something to think about in the future. But yeah, low turnout this year is
so is
unacceptable.
Is that our millennial minute? I mean, how do we relate? I mean,
yeah,
I
don't know. I mean, I think it is, but I don't. I wish I had the answers. I, you know, made fun of Taylor a couple weeks ago for not having all the answers, but I don't.
That's right. You
turns
do
out I don't. I don't
hey,
have,
shout out Taylor. Shout
hi,
out to
Taylor. Yeah. Hey,
Barnstorming.
Hey, Barnstorming. And I think they're
Barnstorming PA.
They're I think probably recording their election
yeah,
wrap up about right now too. So
yeah,
we're all on the same page, looking at all of these things. But, you know, it's happening all over the state. I think that, you know, to me, I would say, you know, the party, and one of the reasons that I want to be more involved, is needs to find those ways to communicate with young voters, but also with young people who aren't registered, and find ways to get them involved. You know, the standard phone banking, not going to work. You know, that sort of thing. Door-to-door, not... is great for certain things, but isn't going to work to get people more involved. So I think we need to look at, you know, some strategy
so
on that
I
want to
do some with that, because Indivisible has a great program for that, because I do regional training for them.
Yes.
I might have mentioned some of this, but I think there's a difference between going up to someone, and it could be anyone, could be a millennial, and
mm-hmm.
saying, hey, we need you to help at the polls, or we want you, like, in other words, assigning tasks versus having a meaningful one-on-one dialogue about the values and where you stand.
Real
and why you're in it. Why you're in this.
Yeah.
Because I think once we tell the story of why we're involved and why we're so passionate about this. And then we hear and listen to their story about what is concerning to them. And we find that common ground. We find that that point of unity there. Then what you've done is you've built a leader in the movement, as opposed to someone who's going to take care of a poll for you.
Sure. And, you know, and that reminds me of something. You know, you and I spoke at that class about advocacy work at Bloomsburg University a month or two ago.
Outreach.
And one of the, well, yeah, but one of the questions that you're absolutely right, but my takeaway from what you just said, one of the questions that they asked us both was, how did you get involved? What made you get involved? And wanted our origin stories. They were interested in that. And that was something that we then could talk to them about. And that was coming from college students.
Let's do that on the next podcast. We'll tell our 2-minute story.
That's a great idea. Yeah, we can definitely do that.
Look forward to our next podcast. We'll do our 2-minute
story. Cliffhanger.
Yes, we're going to leave you right there. You're going to hear those stories. So
stay tuned.
That'd be cool. So we're going to have to work on that. 2 minutes. We each get 2 minutes to do it.
Man.
Can we do that?
I can do it. Can you do it?
Get out. Are you challenging me to that? Absolutely, I can do that. Are you kidding? Oh, snap. That's
Are
right.
you going to be like sitting timing
well,
yourself?
Well, you know what? Maybe we should have someone come and be our timer. Let's
we
get
should.
A guest.
We need that, a neutral party.
Like Belinda was at the...
That's not what I was thinking.
Stop.
That is not what I was thinking.
Time's up. Yeah.
But someone with
someone
a stopwatch.
Someone holding up a piece of paper.
Someone with their own stopwatch.
You have 30 seconds
yeah,
left.
Exactly. All right. Well, we'll workshop this and figure out some of those details. But that is a good idea. Yeah,
Let's
we should do that.
And then we'll look forward to people's responses about those stories and see how they connected to them.
Yeah.
Maybe they did connect. Because I think that's one of the important things we have to talk about. If our stories are not talking about our values and then what's deeply behind it, then we're doing a real injustice. You know, when someone said, I was listening to just a shout out to our friends in Texas with Indivisible, because I did some training there. We were sharing some stories for some people in rural Southeast Texas.
Yeah.
And they were telling their stories. And the one person said she told her story about how she was very embarrassed. Like her dad had told her something and she went to school and they were like, that's not right. And then she looked it up and she's like, oh my gosh, it wasn't right.
Oh.
And what this told her was that she couldn't trust people.
Right.
And this is where she started her story.
Yeah.
And that sounded like pretty decent, pretty heartfelt. And I said, but really, how did that make you feel?
Yeah.
And then when we started talking about how that made her feel, it just opened up her whole story and people started relating to it. And
That's
it was
incredible.
Really quite remarkable.
Yeah.
You know, that this is something that had influenced her and she loved her dad and, you know, but the story was how she turned it around.
Yeah.
And that's, there has to be a transformative point in
There's
your
a turning
story
point, sure.
of when you became more politically active or whatever it might be.
How
and
it
so
pushed
we
you,
should
yeah.
lay out maybe, and we'll talk offline on this, about what those components are.
Yeah.
So we make sure that we hit all of those bullet points there and
yeah,
see what
I like
we can
that
do.
Idea. Yeah,
so
let's do that.
I'm looking forward to that.
I am too. Stay tuned, listeners. Yay.
So we said Pennsylvania's in the spotlight. So let's move that forward today all over the news. People were talking about Pennsylvania. And what they're talking about now is the Senate race.
I don't
right?
want to talk about it. Do we have to talk about
we
it?
We do.
I know. I'm kidding.
Lou Barletta has been really kind of on low on this because
flying under the
he
radar
didn't
want to
have the spotlight because of all of his bad moves that he's been making over the years with not showing up to town halls,
Could you
immigration.
Say perhaps that he's a chicken?
Ah! Oh my gosh.
Oh,
so
no.
Here we go. This is time. It's a chicken or a waffle. It is now time for chicken or waffles.
Okay. That's enough.
It's an actual triangle.
It is.
I got a triangle.
Dwayne is very excited, listeners. We have a triangle.
It's hanging off of a coat rack with
not
a rubber
great.
Band. And,
it's fine. It's totally
we'll
fine.
We'll have to figure it out.
We're going to make it a little
This
little
is experimental
better.
Chicken and waffles.
Sure.
By the way, I have used this for my dogs. They come running to the house when I do it.
Do you give them chicken and waffles?
No, they get biscuits.
That's disappointing.
Yeah.
All right. No, well, whatever.
I couldn't imagine cooking chicken and waffles
for
my
the
dog.
Well, I think that you should.
I know they'd eat it.
Sure.
Yeah, they love chicken.
There you go. We Maybe always, you yeah. could make them some pork chops.
No, we're not going to go off on a thing. Let's forget that.
Okay.
We'll come back. All right. So anyway, the big race, you know, or one
big,
of the big races.
Yeah,
I think
it,
the biggest
no,
race,
I think
the
it
governor's
is,
race, but
it
talking
is,
about.
But it, yeah, I think that for us from this region where Lou Barletta's district, in air quotes there again as well, has been, we have to really get out there in front of this and talk about what a dangerous candidate Lou Barletta is for Senate, because we've seen it or not seen it, in, you know, as the case may also be.
The city of Hazleton paying off $1 million debt because of what he'd done, with
the legal fees and legal all fees of for, that, which for was an unconstitutional.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. His stance on immigration, which is really, he's all about dividing us instead of actually lifting us all together and representing all of us.
Blatant racism and xenophobia.
Well, anyway, we could go on and on about his failings, but something that is kind of interesting now, he was interviewed today and yesterday because of the election, and people pressed and said, aren't you concerned because, you know, Bob Casey has been such a champion, he has such name recognition, he has an incredible war chest because he can raise money, and Lou is very behind on all of that.
On the fundraising end of it.
His response was, you know what, I'm not worried about this at all because Pennsylvania is going to be a spotlight and we'll have all kinds of outside money coming in.
That's cool. That's definitely what you want to hear from someone who wants to represent the state.
He doesn't want to represent the state. Of course he represents his donors.
Of course he doesn't.
And that's, you know, that's the whole point. He doesn't have town halls. He meets with the donors.
He is not interested in making Pennsylvania stronger for its constituents. He's only concerned about himself and accumulating power.
How could you say that? I just can't imagine, like, saying, oh, I'm going to be supported by money outside of the state of Pennsylvania, I'm fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's gross, but it's also dumb, right? Like, why would you say that to a news reporter? Like, that's just stupid. Like, I mean, that's something that you would maybe say to your campaign staff, but why you would say that on national news is baffling to me. But I also don't understand.
Maybe you didn't think it through?
Don't understand how you can be on the advisory board for a hate group. So there we are, not understanding Lou Barletta's motivations.
Right. So we're not
fans, just in case you guys weren't sure. We're not fans.
So he hides from his constituents. There's the chicken, right?
Yep.
And I don't know where the waffle quite comes in. I mean, he's all
there's
the time
so
saying,
much chicken that you can't even find the waffle. That's where it is. It's buried under all that chicken.
Like, what are you eating there? It's just a big plate of chicken.
It's just chicken.
Like gravy and
it's
chicken.
Just chicken.
It's like, is there something?
Was
under
there
that?
Waffles? Like,
you
who knows?
Get a fork.
You
under
can't
there.
Even tell.
Can you lift up
Plus,
the edge?
You wouldn't be able to see because you'd be blinded by those teeth.
All soggy. But you didn't just.
I'm saying it's not natural. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
It's not normal.
Well, it's. Good dental work. Is it? I mean, it just doesn't seem natural.
They're
it?
Bizarrely bright.
They really are.
It's not normal.
We should post a picture of him on the podcast, like to show.
It's
people.
It's an audio medium, Dwayne.
I know. I don't want to get our logo off of it. I'm teasing. We'll have people at Barnstorming think about it and see what they want to do.
We'll outsource that to our friends.
It's like, yeah, we couldn't see our keyboard because we were wearing sunglasses because of the blinding white.
Yeah, it's rough. But yeah, no, so. I mean, I think that it just goes to show, especially when Senator Casey, like my opinion of Senator Casey has gone up by leaps and bounds in the last year and a half. He's really moved into a more of a leadership role, and I'm really impressed by that.
Opposition for Trump.
Exactly.
And Lou's the exact opposite of that.
And a backbone. You know, Casey has shown that backbone, and that's what's exciting, and hasn't waffled on anything that I've really seen. And, you know, it's just exciting to me that we now... Like, I like the fact that we can now focus on how terrible Lou Barletta is and how strongly we support Senator Casey, because I think that that's so important for Pennsylvania, especially when our other senator is such a joke. Pat Toomey is just a nightmare. So
the other part of the story, the takeaway, is looking at the state numbers, and it looked like if you added up the total vote on the Republican side for Lou Barletta and the person who ran against him, and you look at the numbers for Casey, they were separated by like 80,000 votes, right? More for Casey. And so Casey got 80,000 more votes than the combined Republican vote.
Right.
But when you look at the governor's race, you saw that the governor's race, there were three candidates for the Republican side, and Tom Wolf
was unopposed. Yeah.
And so you look at that, and there was only 10,000 votes difference. And so I was thinking about that from two terms. One respect would be that the that Lou Barletta, you know, there's less turnout for him. Yeah. So he's underperforming.
He is.
But then there's the other side of the coin where those three Republicans who were vying for the governorship were at each other's throats. There was so much mudslinging.
So
that
dirty.
Maybe that brought out the Republican vote because it was such a nasty,
well, and it was,
you know,
more in your face.
Attack.
Yeah, it was more in campaign. Your face.
So people went to the polls maybe saying, I need to make sure that I have skin in the game. I'm going to vote for my choice of who.
Well, and I think there was more, I want to vote against this person too, probably, and that because it was so negative, where there was not, I mean, Barletta,
he laid low,
really,
he didn't want to draw,
yeah, like I didn't even, I'll be honest with you, when we pay a lot of attention to this stuff, I didn't even know the name of the person running against him.
I can't think of it right now.
Exactly. I saw it 100 times last night,
because he has the recognition,
right? So, you know, I mean, we'll see what that means moving forward. But yeah, Pennsylvania, at the top of our ticket, we have some big decisions to make and some important, some things to be really motivated about that are very important moving forward. So,
all right. So, so we know what we're going to be doing next week.
We
right? do. So, you know, I think it's about that time then. So we, started off with talking about all the people running for the local races in the local county committee from Action Together, from progressive groups.
Yes.
We talked then kind of moved into the 9th congressional district, the Fighting 9th, and talked a little bit about, Denny and Gary and Laura and the race that they had there. And, mm-hmm. and how Denny Wolf is now our candidate
now
in the 9th
officially
congressional
the,
district.
The candidate.
And then we talked about the low voter turnout, what could go wrong, and the Millennial Minute there as well. And we ended with the Barletta chicken.
Ugh, so
lots
much,
of chicken.
So much
chicken.
Chicken
on chicken. And chicken waffles that we actually heard. Yeah, here we go. We heard that, which is good. We finally got the triangle for our chicken and waffles.
We did. There it is,
you
everybody.
You are so thrilled.
I'm like, so
oh
excited.
Yeah, so...
it's great.
So, you know what? I think it's time to wrap it up, and we look forward to your comments. Please pass it along, because we are lights in the night. We are hope for our future. We are not alone. We are Lightning Bug.